The views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of WMEL staff, management, or advertisers.
This is Bull Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bull's Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
Good afternoon. This is Donna Anselmo, and we're in the WMEL studio in Cocoa, Florida. Today, we have a great show planned for you, as always. And this week, we've got a returning host at WMEL with us. We have Gene Newell of the Speak Out, Listen In show that has been very successfully broadcast on WMEL. And Jean has been on hiatus for a bit, and she's going to tell us about what she's been doing while she's been out of the studio. We also have Joe DePrima with us, and Joe has founded DePrima Construction Corporation, which has been in Brevard County since 1961. And he's going to tell us all about his really very successful enterprise in building custom homes as well as office buildings and apartment buildings. And we're going to talk a little bit about the construction industry today. And then we're going to get into what we normally talk about on Bold Talk Business Radio, which is insight, strategies, tips, and tools for success. And since we have somebody here who has been in business for a very long time and built a very successful company, we're going to be able to get his insights on how that happened and what he did and how he overcame some of the challenges and what's happening, what kind of challenges he's still facing in business. Because, you know, we always have change happening, and there's always something new to adapt to. So we're going to be talking about that in a little while. And what I love to tell our listeners every week is you can go to college, and I highly recommend it. But you can also come to Bold Talk Business Radio and get a lot of the information that you need to help you grow your business, take your life to the next level personally and professionally, and figure out what you can do to make your life the life that you want it to be. So today I want to turn for a few minutes and at least welcome Gene Newell back into the studio. Gene has gotten back into the real estate industry, and I want her to tell us a little bit about it and, you know, how things are going out there. Jean?
Donna, hello. It's so nice to be sitting here on these bar stools again on my old stomping grounds here at WMEL, and thank you to all my listening audience that used to tune in at Wednesdays at noon to hear Jay Brewer and I on Speak Out, Listen In. We're temporarily on hiatus, but I'm working a lot with Donna, and I was telling her that I've had so many people call me and want to know about real estate and what's happening because of my past experience in real estate. And, of course, we had Nancy Bartlett on with her monthly report, but I still get a lot of people wanting to know about the industry and what's happening. So I thought, you know, I'm going to go ahead and start my own business again in real estate, maybe focusing on new home construction, because that is my background and my passion. And I thought, what better way to do that than to introduce my listening audience and Donna to Joe DePrima, who is basically, in my opinion, one of the best, if not the best, builder in Brevard County. When I got here in 1981, I went to work at SunTree for about 4 years, and I found that when we had inventory homes and Joe DePrima was building there at SunTree, his homes were the easiest ones to sell because he was so far ahead of his time on what people were looking for and the features he put into homes that I've kind of followed his career for the last, gosh, dare I say 40 or 50 years. But we're not that old, Joe. I'm going to introduce right now. I think I'll go ahead and introduce, if you don't mind, Donna. I'd like to present Joe DePrima. Welcome, Joe, to Donna's show, and I'm glad to see you again.
Well, Gene, thank you so much for that introduction. I would like to say that maybe we're not that old, but I think I got a few years to live.
I don't know. I keep celebrating my 39th birthday so much now that I'm doing it in dog years now. But, Joe, it's a pleasure to have you on. My gosh, as I said, the time has really flown, and there's just been so many great things about your company that Donna and I like to explore. Donna, did you have any questions for him right now?
Yeah. it's unusual to have somebody with your longevity in the industry. And so I think over time, you've probably seen the ups and downs, the comings and goings, and trends come and go, and many changes in the industry. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've seen happen? Maybe we can get up into where we're at today in terms of, is the real estate industry actually recovering?
Sure. Well, as you have indicated, we've seen lots of ups and downs in real estate, probably more in the real estate industry than in many other industries. And we have survived through some very rough times. In the last 10 years, we had probably five bad years up until last year and this year. And now things have improved. We see more people out looking for new homes. We see values coming back in the real estate market. You know, we lost about 35% of the value of the average home.
That's such a shocker when people get their tax assessment in the mail and you see that you paid a lot of money for your home and it's worth 50% or, you know, 75% of the money you put into it.
Right. Well, you know, the tax assessor has to periodically reassess the properties based on the market value. And, you know, we've always felt that the best investment that an individual could make would be an investment in a new home. And we used to think that if you had 20% down, you had pretty good equity. And that was true for, well, every year that I was building up until about 06 and 07, when real estate values dropped so quickly that the 20% equity was gone, and now people were underwater.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to believe that that happened. So we had this real estate bubble that burst. Did you think there really was a bubble?
Well, I think that things got out of hand with the lending aspects. People were given mortgages that shouldn't have gotten mortgages. Values were inflated. The industry was so busy that costs continued to escalate, and people felt that if they didn't grab a house now, they may never be able to get one. Well, it turned out that when things slowed down, they had purchased, but maybe purchased near the top of the market, and really couldn't do much except either sit there and hope that the market would come back or give the home back to the lender.
All right. Well, I'm happy that I'm holding on to my home and we're starting to see that we've got equity in it again. But we bought in 2004 here, just at the height of the market. It went up a little bit more, and you know, we were following very happily the trend. Oh, gee, we're getting more equity in the house, and then all of a sudden, boom, the bottom fell out.
Interesting that you should say that, because August of 2005 in my company was where we saw the real estate market hit a brick wall. We were going very strong, and all of a sudden, it stopped. And that was in August of 05 was the first time that we really noticed how things had slowed down.
Yeah, I definitely remember, was there with you, because I was watching I was still living in New York at the time and watching the equity and the market in Florida then.
Well, one of the things, Joe, that I've noticed in real estate, although it's starting to like 7 to 10 and sometimes up to 15% increase every year now, we've seen this in the last 18 months, 2 years, Beachside seems to have a higher growth percentage-wise than some other parts of the Brevard County. However, what I've also noticed in the real estate market is that we're in that incline again, not quite like the bubble, but we're in that incline to where homes are costing more to build and they're putting fair prices on it, but the appraisers can't seem to come up fast enough. They're still going with appraisals from a year ago or a year and a half ago, and it's kind of an unusual market right now. People are willing to pay more, but then the appraisers come back with the wrong appraisers. Are you also seeing that as well?
Yes, that's true. And it's an interesting situation because the appraisals are always lagging the market, either going up or going down.
Mm-hmm.
And the methods of appraisal now have been changed by the federal government because of the housing bubble, so that it is more difficult for appraisers to get a up-to-date appraisal on the cost of construction. And they are limited as to the distance from the subject house that they can go to find a comparable sale. And it used to be pretty easy that they could find comparable sales in maybe a 10-mile or 15-mile radius. Now they're limited to a lesser area that they can appraise.
So they're much more conservative now, loaning money and finding those appraisals. But we're growing. Is that right? You've seen it about a 10% every year growth as far as the cost to build and so forth?
Yeah, I think that it's a combination of two things, Gene. It's one, cost of construction, and two, it's land values. Obviously, it's a supply and demand situation. And when you have a lot of land, people want to get rid of that land. They're willing to sell it cheaper. When there is not much land available or developed lots available and there's a demand for new homes, then the price of the lots goes up. So the combination of the construction cost increasing, materials increasing, labor increasing somewhat, but the more significant increase has been in the land values.
Let's go back a minute to something you were talking about earlier. You were talking about when you hit the brick wall in 2005. What happened, and what were the homeowners doing? What was happening with the banks in those days?
Okay, well, one of the problems that came about there that became evident was for the 2 or 3 years before that, people felt that the housing prices were going up so fast that they wanted to get one even if they couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. The banks were very helpful in giving people loans who shouldn't have gotten those loans.
We're speaking with Joe DePrima, president and founder of DePrima Construction Corporation.
So we had situations where there was a shortage of new homes, and we were trying to find contractors who were available to build the homes that we had. The result was that the contractors were in demand, and they raised their prices. And they raised their prices because their labor raised their prices. It was a situation where if someone had an electrical contracting company and there were three or four companies vying for the same employees, that an employee would be offered $2 or $3 an hour more to work with this one, and the first employee to get him back would have to pay $3 or $4. So we kept finding that our subcontractors kept raising their prices. They said, What's going on? You've been working for us for 20 years. Now, how come? He says, Joe, I can't do it anymore. We just can't keep our labor force because of the influx. So
you're being hit kind of almost on both ends in the market there.
Correct. And then what happened was there was the advent of flippers, people who thought that they could purchase a house either under construction or before construction, and by the time it was finished, they could flip it and sell it for more money.
Sure. I think I recall a book, Built to Flip, and then another one, Built to Last. I know DePrima's Built to Last.
Well, you know, unbeknownst to us, some of the homes that we were building in the Suntree area and in the Vieira area were being bought by people who had no intention of moving into them. So when that happened and when the market slowed down, then all of that kind of marketing stopped.
Joe DePrima, what can you share with us about the communities that you've been building?
Well, you know, we started here in 1961, and it was a very, very different market here, and it was a very different place. There wasn't anything like what we have today with regard to shopping and all of the amenities that we now have. In those days, Satellite Beach, which was the first area that I built in, was just a growing community. And you could find a home in Satellite Beach for $25,000, $30,000. It was a pretty nice house. You could buy a lot in Satellite Beach for $3,000, $3,500. So it was, you know, it was in its infancy at that time. And we were fortunate enough to be able to build in competition with some other builders who were really good mechanics. They were good carpenters, they were good block masons and so on, but they really weren't necessarily good builders as far as having a flair to what they built. It was basic. And we had a little bit of information to be able to compete with them.
So the flair, Joe DePrima, and we're on AM 1300 WMEL today. The flair is something that really differentiated your company, I think.
I think so.
Well, what I noticed when I got here in 1981 is that your plans were so great as far as being just slightly ahead of your time that they stayed. You can still live in a De Prima home that was built 40 years ago and not feel like you're in an old-fashioned home. You know, they're just made to live in the L-shaped, which almost every builder now has an L-shaped home, where you can put the pool in the middle of that L-shape and your kitchen is in the elbow of the L-shape. That's just such a tried-and-true plan for Florida, and it works so great. And that was the key, I think, that you weren't building just square, rectangular homes that people were seeing everywhere else. You had that flair and that Mediterranean and, the pillars. And I said, even today, I can go over to Satellite Beach or Suntree, and I know a De Prima home when I walk into it. Nobody even has to tell me.
This is Donna Anselmo on AM 1300 WMEL. Thank you to our listeners for staying with us today. We're talking about construction, home building, custom home buildings. We've got Joe De Prima with us today. And I think that in looking at Joe's website, which I just did yesterday, looking at the photos on there, when we talk about the flair in building, I think one of the aspects of that is the timelessness of some homes. And I think that timelessness is something that you bring to the style of the homes that you build.
Well, when you mentioned the L shape, our homes here are primarily built for indoor-outdoor living. You know, if you happen to be up in the Northeast or other areas where you don't use the outside except a few months out of the year, you build a home a little differently. Here we felt that you wanted to be able to get out, to be on a lanai, to have a swimming pool, and for the home to wrap around all of those features so that everybody inside or outside is part of what's going on. And that was the L shape that became so popular and is still very, very popular today.
What are you finding with the people that are coming to you now to custom home, to build a custom home or to maybe tweak some of your plans? What are some of the things, such as, are people really deleting the living rooms now and going with the great rooms? Or is there something that you're finding that they're asking for more in the last couple of years than you saw before?
No question that the great room concept has become the most popular concept. You know, we always, in the past, built homes with a living room, a dining room, and a family room. Today, we have eliminated the living room and call it a great room, and that is where most of the people spend their time. And it makes for a bigger room that you can congregate more or get more things going on in that room. But there's no question, very few people now are asking us for a living room, a formal living room, and a family room. That family room is now the great room.
So I have a house that has a formal living room, and I keep looking at it and saying, I really want to renovate. Talk to me a little bit about what you're hearing from people who want to renovate their houses, and is it better to put money into renovation or to look for a new house?
Well, I think it's a good idea to put some more money into renovation if, first of all, you really like your neighborhood and you want to stay there and you have a home that is substantially built, which will still last for another 50 years or more. So if you can do a renovation that will give you the type of lifestyle that you would like to have without going through the process of building a new home, that's certainly a great way to go.
Jean Newell, what are you finding when you talk to people about the houses that they're looking for today?
Well, of course, it always boils down to financing. A lot of people are still money-oriented, but if I can explain to them that, just like Joe just said, you can't relocate. You can do a lot of things to your home, but it's always about location. Back to what people said in the very beginning of real estate, it's location, location, location. If you have the right house, maybe the right builder and the right location, you can feel that your resale value is always going to be there, as well as feeling comfortable and not having to move every 4 or 5 years just to be in the newest thing. And that's what I hear from people, is they're looking for, if I'm going to put that money into it, I don't want to see that bubble again. Who do I go with and where do I go?
You're listening to AM 1300 WMEL. This is Donna Anselmo on Bold Talk Business Radio. We're in the studio with Joe De Prima today of DePrimaHomes.com and Jean Newell, former host on AM 1300 WMEL, and she's talking today about real estate. One of the things, since we got into the topic just briefly here about money, I want to let you know that if you're thinking about raising money for your business, you need to learn what you can do to hold on to the money that you raise. The Securities and Exchange Commission was designed to protect business investors against fraud. But if you are a business owner, you need someone to look out for your interest. That's why on the last Saturday of every month, Bull Talk Business Radio welcomes investment attorney Russell Weigel into our studio. Russell wrote the powerful new book, Capital for Keeps, to teach you how to limit litigation risk while raising capital. You can find the book at capitalforkeeps.com. So tune in next Saturday, and we'll have a good show with Jock on the Block is going to be visiting with us. And then on the last Saturday of the month, we're going to have Russell Weigel back with us to talk about how to protect yourself from legal fallout and regulatory red tape. And Russell will be live with us in the studio again to help our listeners avoid trouble with complex litigation and costly regulations. And so join us. And in the meantime, visit capitalforkeeps.com to check out Russell's terrific new book. And while we're talking about regulations, we're going to go to break. But when we come back, we are going to be talking with Joe DePrima about some of the way that the regulatory environment has affected home building and home construction. Joe, do you want to just give us a very quick introduction to that before we break?
Well, there's no question that today we have many more regulations in the construction industry, and a lot of them are very good and improve the quality of our product.
Thank you, Joe, and stay tuned because we're going to get into some nitty-gritty about what's happening in new home construction, how it affects your price of what you pay for your new home, and the areas that you might want to focus on in the future. Thank you, Donna, and everybody stay tuned.
Right, and we're going to have a discussion about how to stay successful in your business, how to become successful, and we're going to be listening to people who have done it before. So stay tuned with us for the second segment of Bold Talk Business Radio.
And this is Wayne West here live in the studio here at AM 1300 WMAL.
Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bull's Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
Hello. This is Donna Anselmo at AM 1300 WMEL, and you're listening to Bold Talk Business Radio. And we're really happy to have Joe DePrima with us of DePrima Construction Corp. And you can check out his houses at DePrimaHome.com. Just want to ask you a question out there. Have you heard on the radio that bed bugs have invaded the Orlando Regional Public Library? They also have been seen in the Orlando Airport. So what are you going to do if you find bed bugs have invaded your home or your workplace? I would like to recommend that you check out the bedbugblogreport.com for information on bed bugs. It's a new blog report, but they have some pretty good information up there. And you might also want to check out a company called Kiltronics.us. That's Kiltronx.us, where they have a fabric-based solution that actually builds a perimeter between your home and your environment and bed bugs. Very cool technology, and actually West Point Homes is bringing that public along with Blockhouse Contracting. So take a look if you've got any fear of bed bugs, you want to know how to protect yourself against them. So in the meantime, today in our studio, we're back with Gene Newell. Gene Newell, co-host, guest host, my co-host today on Bull Talk Business Radio, formerly of Speak Out, Listen In, which you may see again on the air here at AM 1300 WMEL. Jean, thanks for being with us in the studio today.
I'm loving it. Thanks so much for having me in with my special guest today, Joe DePrima. It feels good sitting here behind the microphones and informing my audiences and your audiences about the different things that are interesting in our life right now.
Yeah, we've got a lot of different things going on here at the studio. We have new shows that have been going national. We have new hosts coming on the air and a lot of community activities happening. We're gearing up for the Melbourne Arts Festival next month, and you'll be seeing us out in the street at our booth. So come and look for us next month at the Melbourne Arts Festival. Right now we're going to get back into the conversation that we were having with Joe DePrima earlier about construction and new home development. And Jean had just asked him a question that had to do with some of the changes and things that happen when hurricanes happen.
Right. There's a History Channel on TV that talks about the weather. And it's like even the Weather Channel, they'll have movies and different things about how weather affects our lives. And gosh, even old battles and historical war battles sometimes were won or lost because of the weather. Well, that also has to do with construction, because everyone thinks, well, why does construction costs go up? Why do we have to pay more for plywood? And Joe DePrima happened to talk about a little bit about the supply and demand when there's a lot of building going on and there's just X amount of people that are doing drywall or painting, they become kind of in demand and all of a sudden they're increasing their prices because there's too much work to go around for what limited construction people that we have available. And the other thing is the actual supplies. And we touched a little bit on weather, but back as an example, back, I think it was 91, wasn't that when Katrina was in 91 or the first part of the 90s, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, no plywood was available because everyone was buying plywood to put on their windows. And I remember when the plywood jumped up, I think it was almost double or triple the cost, and all construction came to a standstill because they couldn't make plywood fast enough. And all of a sudden, if you've already quoted someone a price and now you've got to pay three times that amount for the plywood, it affects, you know, those are the things that affect the builder and the customers don't even know about it. And then after Katrina, all of a sudden, we had new building constructions laws. We had to build by Dade County standards, which is in Miami, and shutters had to be included in the cost of a home and different things like that. Any comments on that, Joe, as what you saw, things that had to be all of a sudden added to the cost of homes?
That's correct, Jean. And with regard to plywood, again, it's a supply and demand situation. And as a result of the hurricanes, people were using plywood. Yeah, they were using plywood to cover up their windows, but they were also using a tremendous amount of plywood to replace the roofs that had been damaged in the hurricane areas. So
that's correct.
When you have this tremendous demand increase in a fixed amount of supply, prices were going out of sight. Plus, just the availability to get it was very difficult.
That's right. And
with regard to drywall during those stages, drywall companies in the United States fell behind the demand. They could not reach the demand. So we started importing plywood, drywall from China.
And that's where we got into some troubles because some of that plywood was not made to our standards, which we didn't find out for years later.
Correct. And thank goodness we were never offered Chinese plywood and Chinese drywall. So we never used any of those products, but they became a big problem.
We were talking a little bit about the recession and the recovery earlier. One of the things that you and I had talked about earlier, Joe, before the show, was some of the things that have happened because of the recession in the economy, how that affected government and government cutbacks, and then how that affects people in construction. So can you talk a little bit about that, and particularly on the permitting issues?
Okay. Of course, we know that, like every place else in the United States, we had a cutback in demand and in housing in general in the last 10 years. Up until that time, we were building the amount of housing that was utilizing all of the labor that we had, and also the county and the cities had to add staff to meet the demand for permitting. And that went on for several years. Then when the slowdown came, they held on for a while, but eventually the cities and the county had to reduce their staff to just to stay within the budget. So they couldn't generate enough building permit income to justify the people that they had working there. As a result, we became, let's say, complacent, and the building construction did not increase very much, so everybody was able to take care of it. Recently, we've had a situation where two things have happened. One, the demand for housing has increased, and in the Vieira area especially, they have put in a heck of a lot more requests for permitting. Also, in doing that, it has meant that before the change in, or the talked about change was the impact fees, where it would add $7,000-$9,000 to the cost of a house, Vieira got their permitting started. So the situation today is that the county has not been able to increase their staff sufficiently to handle all the new permitting, and it's taking longer to get a permit than it has in a long time.
So that means that people are waiting longer to get their houses built.
Absolutely.
So for the people who are saying, gee, the market is better, I'm a little bit more secure in my job, if indeed they are, they're looking at building a custom home. Let's talk a little bit about some of the fun things people are looking to put into their houses now.
Well, everyone today is using certain products. One is the granite countertops have become pretty much standard in everything we do. Another thing that has changed over the years is appliances. Appliances are more efficient, operate better, give you more economy of scale when you are utilizing the electricity and so on. So it's a situation where appliances and the features of high efficiency are very important. You know, it used to be that an air conditioning unit had a SEER rating, which is an energy efficiency rating, of about 6, and that was kind of average. Today, we don't use anything less than a SEER 14, and we go to 16 and 17. And the result is that you're going to get a lot more bang for your buck when you're using that air conditioning unit, because it is much more efficient. Also, we're going to LED lighting. And LED lights are not inexpensive, but we just finished a home where we put in over 200 LED lights, and the cost was about $2,500. And the efficiency of those lights has brought the electric bill to a point where the owners feel that it was a great investment.
And how is LED lighting compared to fluorescent or a regular light bulb?
Well, the LED light is, let's say, they'll call it a 65-watt equivalent, but it only burns 13 or 14 watts of power. So you're going to get the same amount of light with a 13 or 14-watt bulb that you used to get with a 65-watt bulb.
Well, that's very energy efficient and economical. What about people who are looking at things like whole house speaker systems? Is that a big thing now?
Yeah, we've always done speaker systems. We've always done security systems. But now we're doing structured wiring. And the structured wiring allows the people to use the airways, the intercoms, our Wi-Fi, and control many things in the house other than just lights. So you can do many, many things at your home or away from your home with your cell phone.
So we're building smart houses now. And on Bold Talk Business Radio, we really talk a lot about how to do smart business. And Joe DePrima, you've been in business for a very long time. You've registered your company, your corporation officially in 1964 down here, but you've been doing business in Brevard County since 1961. You've become very successful. So that makes me want to ask you, how did you do that? How did you build your business? What did you do to get started? And how did you become the success that you are today? I'm laughing at all the questions I'm asking in one sentence.
And I'm laughing at you to make it sound like I am this big success. But yes, we have had longevity. We've worked hard, And I guess the first principle that I would say is when I came to this county, I left Miami where I was in business with two other people. And I realized after being in business in a partnership with two other people that if you can do something on your own, you're going to be ahead of the game. So I came up here on my own, and for the first 10 years that I was in business, I had no employees. So I could do everything that needed to be done and build as many homes as I could based on me being a one-man operation.
You must have been very tired.
I was very tired, but I was a lot younger then, so it wasn't so bad. But my point there is you don't want to build up an overhead if you don't have to build up an overhead. And a partnership is a big advantage only if two people can do the work of at least two or three. So if you have a partnership formed where one person is very good, let's say, with his hands, and the other person is very good with his mind, and you put them together and they can make a much more efficient business, then that's a great combination. As long as one person is not a slacker and the other person is doing all the work.
Exactly. That's usually the problem that we see when Don and I are both consulting various businesses is if there's two or three people there, and it never seems fair. One person is still pulling the weight and the other two aren't. So that's the biggest challenge is to find that partner that has the equal mentality or the equal input into your business as well as having the same outlook in the future with the same goals and so forth.
It's really important to find somebody that you have a good cultural blend with so that you're expecting the same things in business, you have the same vision of where you want to go, and you're both willing to work the same amount of hard to get there. Many years ago, I set up a partnership, and this was after trying to do business with multiple other people. You know, I'm a marketing consultant, and so I'm really good at strategic marketing and graphic design and website building. But for instance, I didn't know anything about video, and I met somebody who wanted to partner with me and let's add video to the mix. But she did business very differently from the way that I did, and I met someone who did trade shows, trade show booths, construction, very differently from the way that I approached my own business. So they weren't good fits. But when I found somebody who was a good fit for me and we built a strategic business for doing and helping other companies do business-to-business proposals and answer official formal requests for proposals, RFPs, we did a smart thing. And I'd like to recommend to our listeners, if you're going to go in business with somebody, get a lawyer, build a very good agreement for how you're going to run that business, and a very good agreement in advance for how you're going to separate if it doesn't work out. We planned for a mediator in advance. We chose the mediator that if we got into a difficulty and we disagreed really on the thrust of our business and how we were operating, that we would go to this mediator. We never actually had to do that, but at the time when I decided to move to Florida, and I really did not see the need to keep that business running since I was moving to a new state and I'd have a new corporation, we had a way to dissolve it because we had a transition agreement that was planned in advance.
Well, it sounds like you really thought it through. And I would say that you're very unusual because most people don't think that far in advance. So congratulations to you.
Well, I have to congratulate my former partner, Stephanie Leibowitz, for that too, because she was really good and very insightful about how to do the right things right. So, Joe DePrima, as you were building your construction company, you started out and for 10 years you functioned pretty much independently. What special challenges did you face in doing that, and how did you grow your business to the level you did when you started and worked so long just by yourself?
Well, let me just say this, that if you're a one-person operation, forget about the 8 to 5 hours because they don't exist. And what you need to do is give 100% of your effort, as much information, as much intelligence as you have, and as much research as you can do to make your business successful. And when you get to the point that you find you are not capable of handling certain aspects of the business, find somebody who does. You don't have to bring them in as a partner, but you can pay for their services to help you, whether it be legal, accounting, whatever, financial, and help you to improve and give every day 100% of your efforts.
That's a really good point, because a consultant is not somebody who's on your payroll, not somebody you're paying taxes for, not somebody that you're paying health insurance for over a long haul period. It's an in and out. They come in, they help you do what you need to do, and you can call them back when you need them, but you don't have to keep them on the bench paying for their services.
Absolutely. There are a lot of things in life that we would be better off renting than buying. Boats,
right.
And airplanes are two of them.
Well, I don't own a boat, so I don't have to worry about that right now, or an airplane, and I'm not going to fly with Harrison Ford in the future, right?
Not right now. So,
not till he recovers and finds a really good plane. So you operate a family business now, right? You have your daughters involved with you, too?
Yes, I have my one daughter, Roseanne, who is somebody asked me how long she's been in the business. I said, well, since she was born, but actually working probably 30 years or more.
Wow.
And she is a very capable. She has her own contractor's license. She's also a designer, has the ASID designation, and she has a real estate license. So she works for us, but she's also got a family. So she is devoting a lot of her time to our company and also raising three great kids. So that's Roseanne. And then Sherry, my other daughter, who was educated and worked in the Brevard County school system for a number of years, is working for us at this time, and she is doing secretarial work and working up front in the office.
You know, Donna, before you jump into that question, I was just going to say Roseanne is probably bringing a lot of the female energy to some of your designs as well, because as we know, when most homes are purchased because of what the women like in the home. And I always thought it was kind of funny because most men design the homes, but most women are the ones making the decision. I bet she has a lot of input on your designs.
She has most of the input on the designs. Mm-hmm. I would agree to that.
My husband is a landscape designer. My son is a landscape architect. And my husband has a lot more years, many more years of experience than my son. And he always tells my son when he's going out now on his new sales contracts to pay attention to what the woman wants. Because in the end, if you don't please the woman in the household, you're not going to make that sale.
Oh, I think that's true. And in most cases, you know, the woman makes the decision. The man either agrees to it or disagrees, but ultimately it's her influence that's going to determine where they want to buy or build.
Yes, Peter Anselmo, I know you're out there listening, so I'm giving you a shout out today, and also to my son, Peter Anselmo, and his company, LandFluent.com. So, Joe, you have a family business, and I've worked with many companies who have family involved, either as a president, a vice president, somebody on their recruiting team, or somebody working in the shipping department. And very often, when you have a company that includes family and outside employees, sometimes there's a difference in terms of the way that people see the company and the way that people work and the expectations. Can you talk a little bit about what you would advise people to do if they are working with family in their company to make sure that everything really does go smoothly and that personal issues don't get in the way of business issues?
Well, that's a hard question because in some cases a family member is going to devote more time and more effort to the success of the business than an employee who is not a family member. On the other hand, some family members will think that they have an entitlement that will allow them to do less than somebody else who's being paid for it. So you have to have a blend, and you have to really talk it out and determine, you know, do you understand that I expect this much of you, regardless of whether you're my son, daughter, or just a friend, and we're going to be compensating you based upon whatever it is.
I always like the fact that sometimes I'm talking to a business owner and they've had to fire their own son or daughter. Has that ever happened or gotten close?
Well, I think Roseanne and I have probably had a few disagreements over the years.
Well, have you any idea how many homes you've built in the last 50 years?
Well, I know we were at 3,000 at some time a few years back, and that included a single family, multifamily, apartments and condominiums.
So you know a few things about construction at this point.
I'm still trying to learn.
Well, what do you think is the biggest lesson that you learned in your business?
I think the biggest lesson is that you never know enough to say, I know it all. And if you're not willing to listen to others, then you probably are not going to be 100% successful, because the market changes and things change that you need to keep up with. The competition changes, and we see that every day in the big businesses that we have in this country.
Well, I want to say a big thank you to Joe DePrimev for being with us, for sharing his insight on a business that he started here in 1961. I want to tell our listeners out there to check out DePrimaHomes.com, because it's a really nice website, and you've got some beautiful pictures. So if you're looking for things to do in your house, you can do that. I want to thank Gene Newell for being with us today on AM 1300 WMEL, the Talk to Me station. This is Donna Anselmo, and we're going to be signing off in a moment on Bold Talk Business Radio and asking you to come back and join us next week again at AM 1300 WMEL. You can listen live worldwide at 1300WMEL.com. And we're going to have a great show for you again next week and every week going forward. So join us again. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Donna. And Wayne great. West, live here in the studio. And I love that comment, Donna, that you made just a few minutes ago about Harrison Ford's airplane. That's Harrison Ford right there making a flyby of WMEL.
Thanks for that, Wayne.
Yeah, he better. I don't think I want to fly with a guy that old. And we're coming up on 3 o'clock. Mouthing Off Sports is next here on AM 1300 WMEL.